Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for what will no doubt be a scintillating issue of the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Is it issues
Maybe
in radio?
Edition.
Edition?
New edition.
Oh, dude. Tell me the new edition isn't the best.
I will not.
All right. Kevin, today is Tuesday. It's a Tuesday. And
top stories of the day
on Tuesdays, we like to at 1 o'clock find out what's concerning about this Dallas Cowboys team. Now, here's the thing. Everything is concerning at the moment, except for Dak and Aubrey, probably. But Jerry Jones spoke this morning. This replay is presented by Window Nation. Dak had a talk with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show. Also sometimes Aiden.
Yeah.
And then he also talked
sometimes
again
Carter
at the Shriners event this morning. So the Jerry Jones has had some conversations, and we will go with cut four to start things off in the level of concern.
Oh, man.
We'll go ahead with cut four. Why is Matt Eberflus still the right guy for the job?
He's been in that. He's had tremendous experience. He's dealt with adversity with a long record, not only with us, but with his tenure at Chicago and Indianapolis. And he's had some great successes, had some very great successes, but he's had his tail kicked. That's who I want in the foxhole with me, because there's no such thing as having all the answers. And so when I jumped at it, when I saw we had a chance to get him, I still feel as strongly as I did the day we brought him in here. And these things that we're dealing with here are not one, two major things. They're a lot of little things that you can address and get right.
Kevin, after hearing Jerry Jones say that, and I do appreciate this from the 682. This is now my favorite segment right next to Should I Eat It? What an amazing segment. After hearing Jerry Jones say that, Kevin and Alec, your level of concern for who Jerry has in the foxhole with him.
It's very high. All right, look. If you are about to walk into a foxhole and there's two next to each other and the one guy is like, my record in battles is 5-4, and he's missing an arm, part of his ear, has an eye patch on. And then the guy on the other side is 11-0 in battles, and he's like, it's time to get to work and go kick some ass. I am going to go with that guy. Right?
Hard to argue, especially if he's missing an arm.
It was weird that he said, I like Matt Eberflus because he's failed a lot. That's what he said. And I know he followed it up with no one has all the answers. And I get that. But that's not the only part of his statement that I disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of little things. All right. Let's talk about the basic fundamentals of defense. Can you get pressure on the quarterback? That feels like a big one. Nope. Can you cover the passing game? Nope. Can you stop the run? Nope. Arguably the three main tenets of, oh yeah, are you good at tackling? Not really. the four main tenets of are you good at defense? Right now, the Cowboys are subpar in all of those. How are those not major things? You're in the wrong foxhole.
Alec, your level of concern for Jerry's foxhole.
Very high. I don't want to get into his, his personal ideologies, but yeah, I would get this logic in like a bar scene where you're like, hey, my buddy's been jumped before. He knows what not to do, how to irritate people and stuff. Yeah. I don't get it in football when he literally said he's gotten his tail whipped before.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't want a guy that people have laughed at that much before. And I remember very vividly laughing at the Matt Eberflus Chicago Bears. Like, there was a lot of things that did not scream, this guy knows how to lead NFL players. Mm-hmm. And the lack of communication and the miscommunication on defense through a few games here in Dallas tells me that he's still not very good at it.
From the 806, after the season when he got gets Mike Nolan fired, Mike Nolan, my first call is Al Harris. No one knows this secondary better. We were big fans of Al Harris and thought he deserved that opportunity. A lot of people had some other thoughts about it as well. And I think this is one of those familiarity with Eberflus. They knew him from the past. He was available because he'd just been a head coach. You know how Jerry loves former head coaches. This is a reality. We love to have guys that can be head coaches. He does like that.
Okay.
But I think there was a lot of intrigue in the fact that they knew him. And he did a decent job up in Indianapolis. However, this, by the way, Kevin, this quote here, I think I was from the 817. I think it was more an analogy for experience versus the exciting hire.
Okay. Can we talk about that?
I think there are times you can be fooled by the exciting hire as well.
I agree.
If I can find somebody who's done the job at a high level or can do the high job at a high level, they do a lot of projection with the young new hire, right?
You do, but I will use the exact same battlefield analogy, and I'll give you the two foxhole options once more, all right? Are you going to go into the foxhole on the right, which has a guy who used to be the colonel or used to be the general, but they determined multiple times that he couldn't handle that level of the job, so they kicked him back down to being in the foxhole with everybody else? Or do you want this soldier who started out at the bottom level? He was a private, but man, he looked like an amazing soldier there. So he moved up. He was amazing there, moved up again. Like,
let me ask you a question. Where's Dan Quinn fit in that?
Yeah.
Because he's...
That is an interesting
he's
one.
He's a colonel general that went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And as Stephen and Jerry mentioned many times, probably should have won that Super Bowl.
He should have.
He'd have just told his offensive coordinator to make some different calls. He's a different, unique person in that conversation, right?
Yeah, because I think
he definitely had the Super Bowl that he won with Seattle. You know, the pedigree of what he had was very high, and now he goes to Washington. Things were really good last year because of the kind of coach he is.
Yeah, because I thought he had started to work his way back up. Like, you're getting Flus on the downfall. When things fell apart in Chicago, at least Dan Quinn got picked up on the downfall and then worked his way back up, and you understand.
He was very motivated, man.
Yes.
He was very motivated to get back to what he wanted.
And I don't know. I'm sure Eberflus is motivated. I'm not questioning that their defense is trying hard or doing their best or whatever, but their best is not good enough.
Let's go to cut 8 here. Jerry was asked this morning, can you still get your return on investment on the cornerbacks you signed?
You know, that's a good phrase, return on investment. And it's one that sounds pretty bright line, pretty factual. But what is that? Dig takes one interception. When he was all pro, he took 4 or 5 of those interceptions. Those are obviously turnovers. They had everything to do with us coming out on top. But when you do that, you take some risk. And a lot of times the ideal interception, the ideal defensive play is to cover and do your assigned area of responsibility. And then you step out, if you can, and make a play on the ball and get a turnover. Boy, what a mouthful, because it's rare when you can do all of those kinds of things. And so we're right now across the board, we're not getting the turnover. We got one yesterday, Sunday, and it really almost won the game. That difference right there was that one turnover.
That right there, Kevin, we almost won the game with that turnover. Your level of concern of what reality is to him.
Wasn't that in the first quarter?
Yeah. This is like, I understand. I don't know if you're ever going to get at this moment the return on investment for your cornerbacks.
By the way, do you notice he just didn't talk about Deron Bland whatsoever in that?
Ignored most of the rest of them when it digs. And I think he's like, man, I'm trying to squeeze the best I can out of Diggs. I think there is, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. That's it for the level of concern, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so frustrated by the Cowboys at the moment. So what I wanted to do was talk about the Tennessee Titans.
Hold on. Just 1 second.
Kevin's mad.
No.
At you.
I just sometimes you see people, it's like, oh, maybe you didn't understand the analogy. I definitely did. We all understood the analogy. It's a flawed analogy. And this is the thing that I don't like. And we've talked about it before. And holding his feet to the fire on this can be incredibly difficult. I don't like that Jerry Jones deflects straight up answers to questions with analogies and folksy anecdotes.
When he tells you something that's not. Yeah. That you see is true. Like you're like, no, I see this.
Yeah.
You just said that it's not what I see is not real.
Yeah. You're wrong.
What are you watching if I'm not seeing the real thing?
And I think the great example of is nothing major on the defense. It's a whole bunch of minor things. Well, that's a mighty convenient redefinition of minor. Yeah. Whoa, Mr. Lincoln, what did you think of the play aside from the minor thing that you got shot in the head?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what it feels like he's doing. Okay, it's minor things like covering the run or covering the pass or getting pressure or tackling. How are those minor things?
It's a good question, Kevin. I do want to play one more clip of audio. Cut 10 on the regular sheet, not on the Jerry sheet. This is cut 10, Kevin.
Oh, this is my favorite.
This is Tez Johnson. I'm thinking that he was getting MVP chance.
I'm going to tell you a funny story. This is crazy. When I score and I hit MVP chant. I'm thinking they talking about me. So I asked Shep. I'm like, Shep, they was chanting MVP? Yeah. And he was like, yeah. I was like, I ain't do nothing this year. And then he was like, they talking about Baker, Ted.
Baker Mayfield threw you the ball.
I was like, well, that explains it. But he is the MVP.
Tez Johnson made a great catch, heard MVP chance, and was like, this is glorious. Very similar, Kevin, to the time I was playing Madden, and I had Corey Dillon on my team, and I rushed for like 3 touchdowns and 240 yards, and they started chanting Corey on Madden football. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. I'm actually Corey.
So I want to hear more from Tez Johnson because that story was amazing. But also,
he was humble.
Props to him for telling the story.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe not knowing that they would intersplice it with the sounds of the sideline, which, by the way, big thumbs up to that video editor for putting it together. But yeah, I like it. But I also like his humbleness in the story when he's like, I ain't done a damn thing.
Yeah.
And his teammate just calmly like, well, who threw you the ball? It was Baker. And then the way he wraps it all up and goes, but Baker is the MVP. That was an amazing quote.
And then finally, let's give it up for Dan from Ticket Sales at the Tennessee Titans. Paul Krowski posted this. Actually, a lot of people posted it. A friend just got this. I don't have this number saved in my phone, so I'm not sure who this is. It's Dan from the new stadium team. You told me I'm in if Brian Callahan is fired. Would you like to buy tickets? Which he said, he replied, I'm currently driving home from Knoxville, but I'll reach out to you when the time comes. This is genius. Coach got fired. You guys said you hated the coach. You want tickets now? Do you want to tighten up?
Check it out.
I love this. This is genius marketing. This is really good. Good job by Dan S. in sales for the Tennessee Titans.
I am actually really impressed by that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, since we shuffled things around today, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, one of the craziest double plays you will ever see next on The Fan.
Shot to right center field. Varsho on the run. He's at the track. He's at the wall. It's gone! It's Polanco again! Jorge Polanco is owning October for the Mariners. He's given him a 6-3 lead.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. So we're going to get to those playoff games in just a second, but a couple of other notes from across baseball. The Phillies have decided that they're going to keep their manager, Rob Thompson, despite the epic playoff choke. Maybe that's because they know the real reason they can't win the World Series.
Because he wants to push them around.
Because
he will.
No, it's not Rob Thomas. It's Thompson, but there's no P in there too, which is weird. The Tigers and manager A.J. Hinch have agreed to a contract extension, which is wild because it's like, hey, you gave up the biggest lead in the history of baseball, but then in the playoffs, you beat that team. So you're back in our good graces and you get a contract extension. Now, for the playoff series, we got both of them yesterday, and I believe that is the last time we get that until maybe Friday?
Dang it!
Well, yeah, which really sucks. I wish they would redo that. Baseball every day, every day, every day. All right, so let's start in the American League, where the Mariners, we just played that highlight from Polanco, who has indeed been outstanding in this playoff run. They win 10-3. And they won both of those games on the road, the Mariners, that is. So they now lead that series 2-0 in the history of Major League Baseball. What do you think teams' percentage win percentages for the series when they're up 2-0?
Kevin, I know it's not 100%.
That is true.
Because the Rangers,
that is true,
played on the road in Houston. What? I'm going to say, didn't they play on the road in Houston?
But they were up in that series 2-0.
Then what happened?
That is not relevant to this question.
They got tied. Kevin, I'm going to say it is 81%.
Ooh, close. 83.9%.
84%.
Okay, even closer. So in seven-game series, when the team has gone up 2-0, they've gone on to win that series 83.9% of the time. So obviously, the Mariners in a commanding position to make their first ever World Series. Now, let's talk about Yuriel Rodriguez. He threw one of the weirdest playoff games ever yesterday.
Okay.
This is probably the closest that you're ever going to get to real life wild thing from Major League. So, by the way, you Savage pitching that game, he did not pitch well.
Oh.
And that's the guy who had like taken over the
three
first
walks,
round.
Yeah. Gave up a home run.
Yeah, but he had taken over the first round of the playoffs But before he even made the start, so I don't know how much this was weighing on his mind, he had to put out a statement, or I guess he actually said it. It wasn't a statement. He actually said it. He said, living in this world where there's so many different opinions and feelings which result in a lot of hate, it's sad to see that people close to me are being attacked for my performances. These people have done nothing to warrant negativity for my actions, whether it's my parents, brothers, girlfriend, family. It's just really sad.
This is your Savage?
Yeah. So he said,
in Canada?
Yeah. He said, people, that is weird. That's a great point.
This is Canada, folks.
But like, first of all, don't harass and all of that athletes, and certainly never get into the realm of death threats. That's just terrible. But I also don't really understand why, like, somebody would go harass his girlfriend because he didn't pitch well. What does she have to do with that?
This would never happen in America, eh? Canadians get all upset about
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
See?
dude, I'm right there with you. Why are you taking it out on somebody that has no control over it, can't do really anything about it, I guess, except for go home and say, pitch better.
Yeah.
Hey, pitch better so I don't get yelled at. I'm not coming to your games anymore, by the way. Yeah. It's probably what's going to happen.
I agree. And you would have thought, I didn't even consider the Canadian aspect of it. That's a great point. But it was Rodriguez who had a really brutal outing yesterday. He faced three batters.
Hit all of them.
No.
Okay.
But he walked all of them.
Yep.
In fact, he threw 16 pitches, none of which induced a swinging strike, and he got four called strikes. Four called strikes, which makes sense, because by the time you get to, midway through the second batter, aren't you like, don't swing at these. Just stand there until he proves that he can consistently throw strikes. Four strikes, 12 balls, faces three batters, and walks all three of them. I'm not saying that the game definitely would have been within reach or anything, because at that point they were already getting their asses handed to them. But what a terrible, terrible pitching run that is.
Yeah, that's not good. And you're right, Kevin. I do believe, was it 7-3 at that point?
Yeah, they were
trouble. That's tough to be at that point, but you can't go out there and you can't do that in the playoffs.
No.
No, you can't do that in the playoffs at all. No, that's bad.
Yeah, they were like, let's see if we can.
All right. But this, I told you yesterday, Kevin, I was like, this is two teams that can slug.
Yes.
I don't expect Toronto to just go away, but Seattle is showing that they can definitely put the runs on the board.
They have been an optimized version of their offense many times throughout this season. Now, the NLCS kicked off last night, and that game was very different. We're going to get to the play that has caught everybody's attention because it was the first 8-6-2 double play in the history of baseball playoffs. That play,
but not the history of baseball?
Correct.
Interesting.
So, something for the Dodgers to watch. They won the game 2-1. Blake Snell was untouchable yesterday. You did say you still think he's got that in him. And man,
if he's still got the ability to do something special.
Well, if we're talking about optimized versions of players, one hit given up, 10 strikeouts over 8 innings.
103 pitches.
Just, he was captivating yesterday. On the flip side, something to keep an eye out on.
Roky Suzuki's walks.
Well, by the way, they took Roky Suzuki out of that game because he couldn't close it.
Yeah.
But Shohei Ohtani has just been awful.
We finally figured him out.
Awful in these playoffs. Now, I know yesterday he drew a plethora of walks at a time when getting on base was at a premium. But
he has one hit in the playoffs?
In this postseason, I think he has four, but okay. But he played well against Cincinnati.
That's right.
So
yeah.
Since then,
two home runs.
He's 1-for-20 with 9 strikeouts. And so he's just been abysmal after that Cincinnati series. Now, he's a big part of why they were able to charge on through there. But
that being said, as abysmal as he is, somehow the Dodgers are able to overcome and adapt.
And that's the thing that's kind of scary, right? If the best player, or maybe the second best player on the planet, is struggling, and you're still in the NLCS, and you still have a 1-0 lead, you're probably like, yeah. And so when he shows up, we're going to kick all of the ass.
You're saying second best player on the planet because Cal Raleigh exists?
I mean, that's a good point. Third best player on the planet. Because Aaron Judge was spectacular in this playoffs as well. Was. And if we're going to give him a bunch of crap for not being good in the playoffs, we should give him some credit. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, you're right. They're still up in this series 1-0, despite the fact that their closer fell apart yesterday. They had a really hard time scoring runs, and one of the best players on the planet can't get a hit to save his life. But what it feels like everyone wants to talk about yesterday is you were this close to getting a grand slam. And instead of getting a grand slam, it turns into a double play. Let's go ahead and go to cut number 5. We'll listen to the madness and then explain what happened.
Set up for 2. And Muncy skies one to center field. Hit well. This one's got a chance. Frelick going back to the wall. He leaps. It's in and out of his glove, but he caught it. And now chaos on the bases. Might have a play at the plate. The throw. Not in time. No, he's out. He's out. It's a force play at the plate. And he is out.
Now,
Teoscar Hernandez was so confused. He was at third base, and he was like, he tagged up twice and was like, I don't know what to do, and just said, screw it, just run.
Yeah, and it was confusing, and you even heard that level of confusion from the announcers. So when they say he caught it, he didn't catch it for an out, and I
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Will say, I thought the umpire, I can't remember if he's off of second base and he was calling it out in the outfield. He had it dead to rights. He called it as not a catch the whole time. And I know some people were trying to say it should have been a home run, but it had already made contact with the wall by the time it skidded up to the yellow line that some people were trying to say it should have been a home run.
Okay, because I was confused too, even watching the replay.
So no, it already hit. And so the deal is, it went out of his glove, hit the wall, at which point that is not a play you can catch for an out.
Just a live ball.
And yeah, and so then when it went back into the glove, he goes, he makes the catch, but he does not make the catch. And so that is not an out. But then confusion reigned on the base pass, and the reason why it went in with the umpire is because you can see the catcher doesn't even attempt to make a tag because it looks like the runner slid in there, except, of course, for the fact that that's a live ball.
Mm-hmm. He played it like he was at first base.
Exactly.
Just this, foot on the bag.
This
foot
is
on the plate.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. And it is not a tag out situation whatsoever. So that player is out. And that's the first out. And in the meantime, all the runners held up because they were like, he could catch it. And then they thought he did catch it. And so because of that, the catcher just trots down to third base. And that's another force out. And so there are your two outs. I know it didn't end up costing them the game, but it really felt like we were going to look back at this game and be like, well, you had a could have been grand slam that turned into a double play. And props to the umpires for being, it felt like they were pretty on top of this,
yes.
Even with review.
Yeah.
It was one of the craziest plays we've ever seen. And like I said, the first 8-6-2 double play in the history of postseason baseball. And then, if you're the Brewers, that's all fine and well, but you still lost the first game at home. Whew. It's a loss.
Yeah, that play in particular, Kevin, still sticking with it. I'm not quite sure, as a third base coach or a first base coach or a runner, how you handle that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't blame anybody for it because you're kind of making a judgment and you don't know what the umpire's thinking. It wasn't very clear. It wasn't concise.
Yeah. If you were, this is one of the things where I'm sure, to your point, those coaches usually go off of what they see and what they feel. In this case, if you're the third base coach and you weren't staring exactly at the umpire that made the call, I could see how you were lost because what did you think might have happened?
Nobody does that.
Exactly.
Nobody looks at the umpire to make their decision on the play.
Exactly. Because otherwise, do you think it was a catch? And if so, are you going to try to tag up? And if so, that person needs to go back.
Yeah, exactly.
All your runners need to go back. Or do you think it hit the line and you think it should have been a home run, in which case you could just trot on home, or the actual option of what happened. So crazy play, moving parts.
Still why you love baseball.
Like,
these
sure.
These are the things that you love. I love this game.
And you know what? And that's one of the things that Pudge said. You never know what's going to happen with 27 outs. And you literally saw something that had never happened in the history of playoff baseball yesterday. By the way, in the meantime, how much pressure is on the Brewers tonight? Because we talked about the Blue Jays losing their first two games at home for the now presumptive World Series favorite in the Dodgers. If you lose those first two games at home,
I mean, it's only like 83% of the time.
Almost 84.
Almost 84. That's it.
That feels pretty high.
You, the other day, you told me that like 14% was really high for a guy's run.
That is a different scenario.
That
is true.
Isn't that big of a deal.
I feel like that is a different scenario in a different sport that you're misrepresenting. Thank you.
It's the most ridiculous claim.
Okay, John Smoltz, I know what you think.
Thank you, John Smoltz.
Shut up, John.
Unless you were supporting Kevin. I'm not really sure who you were supporting.
Well, you know who he didn't support is the Rangers. So you shouldn't say thank you to him. We're the KNC Masterpiece
anyway.
Right here. Good point. On 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Hand off to Tyler Allgeier, the power back, who muscles through and bangs into the end zone. And the Falcons draw first blood from 21 yards.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan after an eventful set of Monday Night Football games. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our Chit Chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Higgy. How are you?
I am doing outstanding. I wanted to get y'all's takes on the Monday Night Football games. It felt like both of the results were surprising, although Jerry told me multiple times this morning this league is set for parity, so every team should go 8-8-1.
Yeah,
he didn't say that last part.
It's an 8-8 league.
It kind of felt like he was calling out previous Cowboys teams, and he's like, "If you can't get there, like, what are you even doing?" And I'm like, "Well, we've done that multiple times, but both of these results felt surprising to me."
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo only being able to score 14 points—that's a little weird. They got some issues defensively for sure. And then the Commanders, man, I mean, if you don't...
They just peed down their leg.
Yeah, turn the ball over everywhere.
Like, so many turnovers for sure. But it was kind of fun. This was one of the more enjoyable doubleheader Monday Night Football extravaganzas.
Yeah, they were. They were both fun, good, entertaining games. And I guess the turnovers really for Josh Allen... Like, that was something we thought, and when he won his MVP last year, he did a great job of cleaning up. Two interceptions.
But before that, the knock on him was he can do everything.
No doubt.
He can turn the ball.
He's so reckless.
Yeah.
He is. And now they've lost two in a row, and they got to go and have their bye. Look, I think Matt Milano, the loss of him at linebacker is huge. Yep. And they've had to play without him before, and they've been successful. But I think the rushing attack last night with what Atlanta was able to put out on the field was a direct result of not having him. But shout out to Atlanta, that pass rush, they got after it.
Yeah.
And they addressed that in the draft with Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. in the first round. I thought the trade up for Pierce Jr. personally, they gave up a lot to get a guy that, but it's working out. Like, that was the weakness of their football team last year. And now last night, that pass rush is looking fantastic. The Commanders L is probably the one that I'm a fool, and it gave me a little bit of hope. You know, big picture.
In terms of the division?
Well, the division's tight now. I mean, realistically, guys, you're a game and a half back, right?
Okay, but does that not make you even more agitated about the loss then? Because then you would have been half a game back.
Of course. Both can be true. Yeah, like, I'm absolutely still ticked about Carolina, but it is like, okay, the Commanders are coming into town. If you're able to play up to them and get a win, which I do think the Cowboys are capable of doing, Now all of a sudden you're 3-3-1, they're 3-4. Philadelphia, I'm hopeful that thing is just combusting. But
do you think it is? I said hopeful.
I don't know. I can't speak about the Eagles fairly and objectively. I just can't. I hate them so much. They're my number one most hated team in sports. All I want to do is for them to just be the 0-17 and
okay,
suck.
I got you.
The Eagles are fairly mediocre, though. I think they're going to come back to the pack. I don't know if I want the Cowboys to be in the division, but I think they are, you know, unfortunately. But as long as they can play explosive offense, which I think their offense is going to have plenty of amazing afternoons and evenings, especially as they get healthy, this thing is wide open. And not only the division, but really the entire league. I mean, there's only 4 1-loss teams left.
There's only one winless team.
You know, this is a big blah of middle 20 teams or so.
I think this answers the question for me then, but we had talked about it last week. It feels like there are not any elite teams. Maybe you feel that way about the Bucks, but right now, do you think there is a single elite team in the NFL?
No, I don't.
Tampa.
Okay. So there you go.
Tampa is going to figure out they're going to start getting guys back too.
Yes.
And they've got a quarterback that everybody absolutely in that organization believes of. They're winning games. Remember when Kansas City did all their one score games and were undefeated in that regard? Tampa's a team you're going to absolutely have to worry about.
Fire the cannon!
Do you buy then, regardless of what the numbers say, do you buy Baker Mayfield right now as the NFL MVP favorite?
Yes. Yeah, what he's been able to do with missing offensive linemen and wide receivers. And I agree. I think Tampa's probably, like, if I had to say who's the best team, it is Tampa. I don't know about elite, though. I don't know if they're an elite team.
They're
playing
some of the best football without their major players. They
Which
get those
scary.
Players back, they're going to be elite. I'm just calling it right now.
That's
on
fair.
That. Yeah.
I still think the Chiefs offensively are starting to really get going and getting Rashee Rice back. And you just kind of have this trust that Spags will get the defense more figured out. And they played pretty well versus Detroit the other night. A big picture, their defense hasn't been that good this year. But you kind of feel like as the season goes on, he will figure some things out. And I think the Chiefs are going to just be somebody that you're going to have to reckon with.
Across ESPN, The Athletic, and NFL.com, they all have the Bucs number one in their power rankings. And then the Cowboys are sitting at 22, 23, and 22. I take it no particular arguments to that placement for the Cowboys.
You've lost to Carolina and Chicago. You are who you are right now.
Yep.
But what Jerry saw last night with the Washington loss and then how Philadelphia might be in some turmoil, I think he's going to go make a trade now. I think he's going to try and find something to do. I think he's going to try and get his team back into this thing. I didn't think that initially. I thought they were going to sit on it and just wait and see how this team looked. But I have a feeling right now he's walking around that building thinking about what they need to go do.
And you know,
to get back into this thing.
The other thing that he said was he's a big fan of hanging around the rim and just trying to get into the tournament, to your point. So
one of his favorite phrases.
Yeah, personally, for the long term of this team, I think that is a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad idea. But
it's got to be for a player that's going to help you long term. You know, it can't be for a guy like Kenny Clark who's on the other side of 30 and, you know, maybe his best years are behind him. Maybe he's going to have a couple of more good years, but you got to trade for a guy who might even have a year of control on his rookie contract and is, you know, near all pro level that the team just doesn't want to sign at the end of this year. You know, find a George Pickens on the defensive side. We've talked about Devin Bush, linebacker Cleveland Browns, who are 1-5, but that's not enough. You know, I think they got to get a corner as well. And
that's tough to argue right now.
If you really want to be a strong team, you got to find an edge as well. Although Jerry keeps saying today, he feels like the edge is a strength of this team, which is bizarre to me.
That was an interesting statement.
I mean, you got a lot of guys that could be second or third on a depth chart somewhere, but you don't have like frontline dudes.
Yeah.
Well, and the way he's talking about Kenny Clark, like, are you kidding me?
I would have felt better if he would have been like, we had felt that way about Kenny Clark. This game was not his best, but instead
he hasn't had two games have been poor.
Yeah, but instead you get the pushback of, well, he's our first or second graded person.
Yeah,
but teams have also kind of figured out as well. I mean, they're going to start smashing your three technique. You're undersized there, and that's what people are going to do. They're going to start running the ball at your three technique.
And what are you going to do about it?
Nothing. Because you're inside linebacker play.
No, they'll make tackles like 9 or 10 yards down the field.
That is interesting with some of those tackle numbers. And
oh,
I'm
it's
like,
stupid.
I'm like, if you play on the second level of the defense, sometimes maybe that's the spot you were supposed to be in. But sometimes I'm like, great, you got 10 tackles and all of them were 7 yards after the line of scrimmage. Like,
it's Jalen Smith.
Yeah, neat. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, yes. Heggie, thanks so much for asking. We got a double guest situation in the 4. We'll have Calvin Watkins and then Mark Schlereth at 4:20 and 4:40. And our thoughts to a very busy afternoon for the Cowboys right out of the gates here.
Indeed. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Come back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan. Good night, Kevin.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.